this morning's encouragement, I don't know, maybe it'll be blessedly short. We'll just have to see how fast I talk. I was really getting into DJ's meditation. I was thinking, yeah, I got third hour. No, I mean, it was good. I was enjoying it. I was getting into it, yeah. Too bad you had to stop. This morning's encouragement is entitled Family of God and How God Sees Us. A couple of weeks ago, Brian had the stewardship, and as he was closing up his stewardship encouragement, he said something. He said, "Let God define who we as Christians are." I thought that was pretty profound, so I wrote it down in my little notebook. And that's where this encouragement is coming from. There's a lot of scripture verses that I'll probably read through at a high rate of speed that describe who we are, whose we are, and where our focus needs to be. So if you miss it, see me afterward, and I'll tell you what the verse is. In speaking of Jesus in the book of John, the writer describes him as the Word, a true light, and that Jesus had a specific mission. He came to give the opportunity for men and women to become members of God's family. John 1:9. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Not through a long lineage of ancestors, not through any specific authority given by man, but through a plan put together by God himself, and no other plan is going to work. And what is God's plan for mankind to join his family? Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. A couple of verses later, Paul gives us more information about this plan. Drop down to Galatians 4:4. He says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Chapter 3 and 27 clearly states that those that have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. If you are Christ, then you are clearly an heir according to the promise. 4 and 5 clearly states we've been adopted and we are no longer servants, but the sons of God. Romans chapter 8, picking up in about verse 14, says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." So if you have received and are led by the Spirit, you're a child of God. It's the Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, not just children living in a house, but heirs of eternal glory to come. In Matthew chapter 19, the apostles were astonished at what Jesus had told the rich young ruler and asked what they would receive for following Jesus. Matthew 19 and 23. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." And Peter answered and said to him, "See, we've left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" So Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The inheritance of eternal life. What did Paul say? "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Romans 8 and 18. So contrary to how you feel, contrary to your doubts and your fears, contrary to how your worldly family perceives you, or even what your boss says about you in your performance review, God says, "You are mine, and I have indescribably wonderful things waiting for you." Having been adopted once, and according to Steve, I've been adopted twice, I can relate to this process of growing in the understanding of what it's like to have a new father. It's the same thing with Christians growing in their understanding of how much God loves you. It's a growth process. I can remember the early days with the Doty family, and Jim Doty was our foster parent. We had a strange nickname for him. Came from my brother, of course. If somebody's name is James and they get mail, sometimes it's abbreviated J-A-S. That's the abbreviation apparently for James. So that's Joss. Well, Grandpa Doty or Jim Doty or my dad Doty used to be called Uncle Joss at one time. He put up with it. Who knows? But it didn't take Steve and I very long to realize after we got into that household that we wanted to do everything we could to stay there. We had no desire to go back to Star Commonwealth or be put back in other foster families or, you know, whatever, you know, the government was going to do to us. And we were pretty determined we weren't going to mess this up. Now, one of the first things I learned about farming, now you have to remember, you know, Jim was a farmer and he had a full-time job, but there's always a lot of work. And the first thing I learned about farming was picking up rocks. Those of you who have farmed understand what this concept of picking up rocks is all about. You get the tractor, you get the wagon, you go out in the field and you park it, and then you go out wandering around picking up anything bigger than about this big, something that might mess up the plow, and you pick up rocks. I thought, boy, this isn't much fun being a farmer. But I didn't care because I was happy to be in that household. We appreciated what he was trying to do for us and the life that he was giving us, and we didn't want to mess it up. And there was many times that Steve and I went for a walk back in the fields, and we talked about things that make sure that we didn't want to upset, you know, Uncle Joss, ruin this thing that we had going on. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Picking up in about verse 14. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he's explaining how this new life is supposed to be, this new family that we're participating in, and things that we should watch out for so you don't mess it up. Pick up in verse 14. "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? in what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? In what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now that we've become members of God's family, he's instructing us not to become unequally yoked to unbelievers, but to separate ourselves from these old practices. And most of us understand how this works. It just happens naturally. Because the more that you seek the things of God, your worldly friends and those worldly hobbies that used to be part of, they don't call you as often as they used to. And pretty soon they don't call you at all because you're moving in different circles. You've got a new family like the people within this room. The people within this room are your brothers and sisters. And that's a little difficult for, you know, some folks to get a grip on. Maybe you grew up in a hugging family. I did not. But I have been working on this. And thanks to Jamie, I now have the new standard. Okay? We only hug for baptisms, weddings, and funerals. And there's a limit. 7. 7 is the new number for a funeral. That's how it works out. Just so you know. So don't be offended. If somebody comes up and give you a big hug, and then you turn to me, and you're thinking, I'm going to get a hug from John. No, you're not. Special occasions, special rules. Anybody watch NCIS? Okay, he's got rules. I got rules. No problem. All right. This unequally yoked business, it is a natural thing. It's not like there's a black and white dividing line. It should be a natural thing. So it's not like once you're immersed into Christ, you have to walk up to all your old friends and neighbors that aren't Christians and say, back, stay back, nothing to do with you anymore. That's not how this works. It'll come naturally. If you've got questions, see me after. And it's true. And one of the things that most of us that have had teen children, you want your young people to avoid bad things. So if you know they're hanging around with an obnoxious, headed for destruction young teenager, you want to counsel them not to do those kind of things or they're going to end up in it. If you have any further questions on that, I think DJ might have some input in that area. Get with him after. We can't run off and hide on a mountaintop, though. We aren't called to do that. We're called to do is no longer run after those things of the world. But back to this new family that you're a part of, how do you treat your new brothers and sisters in Christ? Of Philippians chapter 2, picking up in about verse 3. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. drop down to verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. It made me think about DJ's encouragement this morning. You know, this shining as lights in the world is like, you know, moths are attracted to the light. but the moths aren't good moths. And that's what's going to happen to you. If things are going well, if you're shining as a light in the world, it's not like you're hiding from the world. The world is going to see you, and they're going to be attracted to you, and when they get there, they're not going to be kind to you. They're going to do things, and you're thinking, well, why did you come bug me? I didn't bug you. But that's just how it works. If you shine as lights, you become a target, and they're going to come after you. But the children within the body, there's no strife or vainglory is required of God's children, but to esteem each other without murmurings or disputings. This takes a little time, takes a little bit of maturity, and maturity on your part when a young Christian is doing things that you're thinking, why are you saying those things, or why are you acting that way? Why are you trying to create division or a split within the body? Well, it's not intentional. It's a growth process. And it's up to the older folks to provide good counsel to them that there's no strife within the body. When we hear of strife within the body, we don't keep it to ourselves. We take it to the leadership, and we share it with them so that they know that there's a potential issue. So it can be nipped in the bud rather quickly so there's no problems within the body. Okay? Don't suffer in silence. And, you know, to use a medical kind of an analogy, my son James has done something to his Achilles tendon. So I told him, I says, well, you know, you need to ice it, and if it don't get better, you need to go see a doctor. Of course, I don't think he's iced it, and he's still gimping around. So I saw DJ trying to get up these stairs. I thought, yeah, maybe this is a Doty thing. We all get old and gimpy in our hips and our legs and everything else. But, you know, James needs to pursue this. He needs to find out what's going on with that Achilles tendon. I think he'll just stubborn his way through it. But, you know, some people don't listen to wise counsel. All right. We need to be on the alert for what the body needs, our fellow brothers and sisters. We need to be an encouragement to them wherever we can. Some of it's going to be easy, some of it's going to be a bit harder, but stick to it, don't give up. Remember, the goal is to grow into the stature and the fullness of Jesus Christ, Ephesians 4 and 13. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. And remember, the encouragement this morning is remember what God says about you and who you are, and don't listen to the things of the world or what others may say about you. Remember what God says about you. As DJ was bringing out in his stewardship, keep your mind focused on the end goal. Don't be always looking at the here and now and the present and with doubts and fears, rebuking and chastening yourself continually over little nothings that can be taken care of through a little bit of prayer and repentance. But in 1 John chapter 3, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. It's easy to get sucked up in the things of this life and keep, you know, as your body starts aching and hurting and it keeps pulling you back down to earthly thoughts, to set our sights on things above, not on the things of the earth, and remember what God said about you and whose you are. Don't let the world drag you down into the mud or make you feel like you're less than what you should be. Remember, you're one of God's children now. Yeah, you got an earthly mom and dad, all right? But you belong to God now. We are just temporarily trapped in these flesh and blood containers. And we don't know what we will become, but we will be like Jesus. And we need to be active in purifying ourselves from the things of this world. I'll drop down to verse 7 and 8. little children, that's you, let no one deceive you. Let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I'll turn back to Titus chapter 2. Picking up in about verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We are to imitate Christ in and with our lives, just as Paul wrote unto the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 4:16 and 17. He says, therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. When we became a part of God's family, a great and awesome thing happened. And I've said it before, too bad, just too bad, that we didn't come out of the waters of baptism with kind of a light purple skin. You know? A royal priesthood. A visible reminder that when we look in the mirror, we are no longer earthly people. We are spiritual people. But God has his reasons. I may ask him one day, well, why didn't you do something like that? Don't you think that would have been helpful? But we'll see. We'll see. God created man with a free will. God showed his glory and power to man throughout the past ages. God has prepared a plan for this free will man to follow to become one of his children. Not a slave to do what he commands, not a servant who is indebted to him, not a robot to unthinkingly repeat praises, but a free will man who through obedience, faith, and love will have all the rights due to a son. That is who we are. That is how God sees us, his blood-bought, chosen children. Philippians 3 and 13 says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are, which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, forgetting what is behind and pressing forward to the upward call of God. Constant reminder of whose you are and what you are. You know, back in my Marine Corps days, the media went through a lot of trouble to constantly point out all the Marine Corps' deficiencies, so to speak. But within the Marine Corps, even like, you know, for example, the Marine Corps birthday ball, that was designed to remind us of who we are. Talk about the warriors who went before us and the great things that were accomplished and the great things that the Marine Corps had done to pump us up, to keep us steadfast in doing our part to be America's finest. We are God's finest. We need encouragements like this, reminding us of whose we are, to keep us pumped up so that we can have younger people take the youth that we have and pump them up for a week in spiritual things to remind them that there is a God in charge of this world and that they need to draw near to him now while they are able. For the upcoming You called it a revival. I thought it was a family camp. But if it's a revival, okay. To pump us up, to spiritually recharge us. We need these kind of encouragements to keep us on the path and reminding us of whose we are. Matthew 5 and 14, you are the light of the world. Oh, gee, I wasn't feeling very light-like this morning, but here I am, light-like. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Remember DJ's encouragement. The world is going to come at you, and they're not going to be nice to you. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father in heaven. Glorify God. Just like our children, when they do something that other children are not doing, like behave, and a grown-up comes along and tells you how impressed they are with your kids, how do you feel? Multiple times that happened to me in restaurants when my kids were sitting there quietly and have somebody come up and say, your children are just so well behaved. And I'm thinking, you betcha they are. You betcha. We are the children of God and we do good works. It glorifies God. What is it we can do? We surely don't have time to cover all the possibilities, but as the children of God who desire to please our Heavenly Father, let us consider the implications of the following scriptures. Matthew 22 and 37, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm thinking back to, you know, the things that Steve and I talked about. What could we do to please Uncle Joss so that he wouldn't send us back to Stark Commonwealth? These kind of things, you're in a new family, what are some of the things that you can do that you can please your Heavenly Father? Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. John 13:12, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet also. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. For if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. We've received this adoption as sons and daughters, and now we're the heirs of God. Can we, by faith in the operation of God, see and appreciate this adoption, our new family? Our lineage to the old life has been broken. It's been severed. It is a bridge that has been burned behind us. And the day you were baptized, the day you were born of the water and the Spirit, and then forgetting all else behind, press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3 and 14. Then you can do those things that will please the Father. Matthew 5 and 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Mark 12 and 30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. 2 Timothy 4 and 2. Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Galatians 6 and 2. Bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. And Galatians 5 and 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. We are the heirs of the living God. Consider these few examples that I brought out this morning as you go forth this week. Meditate and pray about them. We truly have a high calling. Pray that the Lord might open up your heart and your mind that you might see whose you are and what you are. You're light purple. You're a high priest. You have spiritual things that you need to be doing. Good works to glorify your Father. Many opportunities exist for you to demonstrate to God how much you appreciate the fact that you are now a member of His family. Thanks for your attention. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer.